Thank you for tuning in today for our podcast, 7210, the Chapel Series. 7210 is a production of Southwestern Christian University, produced by April Black, and I'm David Roman. Check out the university on our website at swcu.edu and find out more about the over 30 different degree programs that we offer. The campus is located at 7210 Northwest 39th Expressway in Bethany, Oklahoma. Stop by and check us out either on the web or at our main campus.
Today we're continuing on the series of the emotions of our emotions, so please help me welcome Joseph Kelly as he's going to be speaking to us today about anxiety.
What's going on, SCU? How are we doing today? Doing good. You're livelier than a Sunday morning service right now. I love it. I love it. Hey, thank you, Dean Davis, for the opportunity to speak and be here. Oh, we got some lights on. I can see all your beautiful faces. You're a good-looking university. You know that? Way better looking than those students at SAGU down in Texas. Although I gave them a lot of money to be able to say that. So my name is Joseph Kelly, as you already know. I'm a graduate of the, maybe hated a little bit around here, Southwestern Assemblies of God University. Lions, don't hate. It's okay. You know, I know they're not good at sports. You guys are much better, right? Okay, I love it. Man, I'm excited. First off, my wife is here with me. Come on, can we give it up for my wife, Sherry, here on the front row? She actually surprised me today. I did not know that she was going to get to be here, so that's always fun. No pressure, right? Just got to preach in front of her again. But it's all good, all good. Hey, real quick, before we get into the Word, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but you have a staff here at this university. You have leadership and faculty that believe in you, that believe that the best days of the church are not behind us but are in front of us because you're going to lead the future of the church. So can we, for just a few moments, can every single person in here that is a student, can we stand to our feet and show honor where honor is due to Dean Davis, the rest of the staff, the faculty, and the leadership here? Come on, you can get up one more time. Come on. All right, you can sit down. I promise you, you do not know the hours, the time, the energy, the mental energy that they spend not worrying, but praying, believing, and thinking about you and your future. And so, man, I appreciate them. And again, the opportunity to speak to today, Tuesday. Man, what a great message on fear, wasn't it? Man, it was awesome. God did some incredible things as we've been in this series about the emotions of our emotions. And today we're going to continue this thought and this idea as we go into an idea, into an anxiety. We're talking about anxiety. That the moment that I say that word, everybody in the room knows what we're talking about. When I say anxiety, you know what it feels like when anxiety attacks. You know what your mind feels. You know what your body feels when it feels like your heart begins to beat out of your chest, when the stress hits your shoulders, your blood pressure goes up, you begin to have sweat on your brow, when you feel the weight of anxiety, right? Every single person in here has faced the emotion of anxiety. No one in this room is immune to it. I remember a night when I woke up and I immediately began to think, oh my goodness, I'm never going to be able to accomplish everything that I want to. Where has all the time gone? My skin was cold to the touch. My heart began to pound. Sweat was on my brow. I rolled over to the side of the bed, turned the lamp on, trying to immediately pray and ask God somehow to help the torment that was in my mind to be gone. The weight of anxiety, when it hits, you feel like you are completely and totally out of control. Has anybody in this room been there with me this morning? And I know we're just kind of like jumping right in and getting heavy with this a little bit right off the bat, but it's in those moments for me where it seemed like it was just yesterday that it all began, that I sat in a seat in a chapel at a university thinking and planning and believing for what God was going to do through my life, what the future was going to hold. And I was selecting a degree, completing exams and projects, getting ready to graduate, get married, move into our first home, get a dog, because that's the true sign of success when you get a dog. That's when you know you've arrived, right? You're no longer cool anymore. Now you've got a home and bills. And now I've been married almost 10 years with three children. Come on. I have a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a newborn. My life is full of anxiety. I know nothing but anxiety. I got naked people just running around my house. It's like, what is happening? Some of it is my kids. Some of it's our young adults from our church. That's the really concerning part. What is wrong with you? But somewhere along the journey, the excitement of life turned into expectation. That it was no longer a joy to get up in the morning and do what I felt called to do. But somewhere now I had this expectation on me that I have to perform. That I have to get up and put on a face that for some of us, you're putting on a face every single morning to perform and to meet an expectation. And you're being someone that you're not, just to live up to what people around you think you should be. An expectation. Motivation turns into stress and ambition. And for me, it had become the most significant source of anxiety in my life. And so what do we do in those moments when we feel when anxiety hits, right? Because it's going to happen. Anxiety is going to hit. When you least expect it, when you least want it there, what are you going to do when anxiety hits? For me, I did the very thing that I'd been taught to do my entire life. As the pastor of a son, as the grandson, or as the son of a pastor, as the grandson of a pastor, anytime I'm struggling with something in my life, what do? We go to God's word, right? Like the Bible is supposed to be our source of hope. It's supposed to be our source of life. It's supposed to give me the answer for the things that I'm struggling with. And I go to the word, and this is what it tells us. If we can throw it on the screen in Philippians chapter 4. If we don't have it, I'll go back to my notes. Sweet. It says, do not be anxious. Thanks, God. Thank you. I'm really struggling with anxiety right now. Don't. That's God's message. Just don't do it. Cool. That's really helpful. That gives me a lot of clarity. It's really practical on how to deal with the weight of what I'm enduring right now. Just don't do it. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. We're left with this tension of don't, but I do. Don't be anxious, but I am. Isn't it frustrating when you're dealing or you're worrying about something and people tell you don't worry about it? Because they don't know your situation. You're not in my shoes. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm dealing with. And this is basically what God does. We're in the middle of anxiety and he says, just don't do it. You don't understand. Like, I'm really worrying and stressing about this. Don't. Don't fear. You don't understand. I'm terrified about this. How many of you you've been anxious? You know what it feels like to be anxious about school. To be anxious about success. To have anxiety over failing and not achieving the things that you desire to achieve. To be anxious about being alone. Anxiety about relationships. Not living up to the expectation that people have for you. Being anxious about situations that you can't control. Come on, can I get an amen there? Amen. Situations that are outside of your control. For me, I cannot deal with anticipation. I cannot deal with it. If you need to talk to me, come talk to me. The people that know me best, one thing about me is I don't like having phones. I don't like being accessible. Not that I'm an elitist, but I could live in a cave in the mountains off the grid and be totally satisfied. Just have a little farm up there, feed myself, be alone. Life would be great. Like, I don't need, like, all the chaos of life, right? So I don't really love having a phone. I will turn it off for an hour, 2 hours at a time on occasion just so that I can get some space, right? Like, we need some space in this culture we live in. And so for me, when somebody texts me, and they say, we need to talk, period. I can't do that. You could live an hour from me and I will drive to you right then if I cannot get you to respond. And the worst is when you try to text them back to get them to talk to you right then and then they leave you on read. It's like, I know you saw my text. You literally just had your phone because you said we needed to talk. And I said, what do we need to talk about? Read. Nothing. What's even worse is when those little text bubbles come up, like they're responding and they're typing, and then I get excited. I'm like, oh my gosh, we actually get to deal with this and reconcile this unresolved tension, and then it goes away, and no text ever shows up. Lord, just take me now. Like, I can't. I can't handle this. I cannot handle this anticipation. My mind immediately begins to race. I'm like, oh my gosh, are they okay? Are they mad at me? Are they upset? Are they offended? Are they hurt? Are they in a car accident? Are they dead? What's going on? I cannot handle this. My pastor that I've been working with for going on 8 years now, I've been the associate pastor at Discovery Church for almost 8 years. And for me, he and I have this very close relationship. We're honest and open about everything. I am so thankful for this relationship. But he has known me long enough now that he likes to mess with me. And he will do this and create this anticipation. It'll be on a Sunday afternoon or a Sunday night after our young adult service. And he'll text me and he'll be like, hey, let's chat on Wednesday. Why Wednesday? I'm free now. And immediately, I've worked with this man for 8 years. I know he believes in me. I know he cares about me. I know that he is happy that I'm helping him lead this team. But immediately, when he texts me and says that, I'm like, I'm going to be fired. It's over. I need to start looking for jobs right now. That doesn't make sense, right? Like, when we are under the weight of anxiety, we think thoughts and our minds go to places that do not make sense. A lot of times, anxiety makes us illogical. It makes us irrational. We don't understand even why we are feeling the things that we feel. How many of you have ever grocery shopped at Aldi? We got any Aldi grocery shoppers? It's the exact same thing when you're trying to put your shopping cart up and get your quarter back, because that is an important step in the process, and some lady comes running up out of the parking lot like, wait, wait, and she's got a quarter. And instead of just getting her own cart, she wants to give you her quarter and take your shopping cart. Lady, I don't want your quarter. I don't know where that quarter's been. I don't know what kind of ungodly places you've taken that quarter. I want my quarter that stays in the tiny pocket. You know that little tiny pocket that's inside the bigger pocket? That's a quarter pocket for when you go to Aldi, right? That's where the quarter lives. It stays. It's safe. It's protected. I don't want your quarter. It's a quarter. That doesn't make sense, right? We don't understand why our brains, why our emotions do the things that they do. But Paul speaks to this in Romans chapter 7, verse 15. Romans 7, he says this, for I don't understand my actions. I don't understand because I do not do what I want and I do the very thing that I hate. Nobody wants to be anxious. Nobody desires to be under the weight and the oppression of anxiety. But it's there. It comes when you least expect it. It comes when you least want it. And we don't understand it. It's like that relative that shows up to things that nobody really wants them there. You're not even 100% sure that they're actually related to you. Just anytime there's food, they show up. And every time they show up, people are like, now how are they related? They're your mom's sisters, but who again? You can't really figure it out. That's how anxiety is. You'll try to convince yourself and explain to yourself why it's there, and yet you're left in the same place as Paul is in Romans 7. I don't understand. I don't understand why I immediately begin to think that they're not going to like me, that they're not going to want me, that I can't do this when God says that I've been made more than a conqueror. I don't understand why I'm living in chaos when God says that if I will trust him, I can have peace. Why? Why am I in this place? It doesn't make sense. In Psalm 56, the psalmist guarantees in 56:3 that when I am afraid, I will put my trust in thee. Why is this verse important? Because the psalmist is not saying if, but when. The chance of you facing anxiety is 100%. If it's not, you're either a robot or you're lying to yourself. The psalmist says, when I am afraid, that this is a guarantee that at some point in your life, this is a real issue, not if, but when you will face anxiety. What are you going to do in that moment? Did you know that each and every day, 90% of the information that we take in is actually toxic to your mental health? Each day, the average human being will be plagued with 70,000 thoughts. 70,000 thoughts will run through your mind. 90% of them will negatively impact your mental health, whether it comes from news sources, from social expectations, to what you see on social media, to conversations that you have, to just unfortunate expectations that you put upon yourself. 90% of the 70,000 thoughts that you have each day will negatively impact your mental health and anxiety. So what do I do? How do I, if this is the world that we live in and the psalmist guarantees that I'm going to face it, how do I overcome anxiety? How do I face this issue? There's two battles that you have to win. Two battles. If you're taking notes, write these down. Two battles that you have to win. The first is this, the battle for control. The battle for control. Immediately, we start to think, how do we have control in these moments? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says this, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you." Verse 7, "Casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." Because he cares for you. How do you win the battle for control? You do what 1 Peter 5 says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. I win the battle for control when I quit battling for control. The only way that I win the battle for control with God is when I give up and I say, God, my life is yours. My plans are yours. My ways are yours. Here's the thing. Either you can have control or God can have control, but not both. Not both. And many of us, we live in this tandem of, God, we want your way. God, we want your plan. God, we want you to lead, but yet we want the loudest voice in the conversation. God either has control or we have control. And when we have control, we make decisions and we end up disappointed and we go through situations in life that are frustrated and we get angry and we feel like, God, you let me down. God, where were you when I needed you? And can I submit to you maybe that it's not that God didn't deliver, but it's we didn't let God in. We cannot hold God accountable for the decisions we did not allow him to speak to. Either God is in control or we are in control. And for many of us, we are trying to control something in anxiety that has complete control of us. I'm a huge sports fan. I love football, love baseball, love basketball. I'm getting there with soccer. I'm learning about it. How many soccer people we got? You're the original football players, right? Like, America's got it wrong when it comes to football. But one of the greatest sports that fascinates me is bull riding. We got any bull riders in here? Anybody ever ridden a bull? There's something wrong with you, man. There's something psychologically wrong with you to get on the back of a bull. But I'm fascinated. It's crazy. There is a man in our church that he will go to El Reno and he will ride bulls for free. This man does it for free. Like, there's not enough money in the world to make me get on the back of a bull. But these guys do it. I love, we've been to several PBR events, and these guys, they'll get on the back of the bull and they pull the bull up as tight as they can. They nod to this dude that opens the corral. And then this 160-pound guy on the back of a 2,000-pound animal that is angry, that is mad. When they show them on TV, these guys have like blood in their eyes. Like, stay away. If you encounter something or someone with blood in their eyes, run away. Do not get on their back. And they open up the gate and they begin to jump and buck and kick and spin and turn. It's crazy. All for them to be able to make it for 8 seconds. And the buzzer goes off and they hop off, which any sport that starts off wearing hats and then advances to helmets with masks, that should tell you something. Right? Like, if the hat wasn't good enough and now we're wearing masks, that's a problem. But you know what I've never seen in any PBR event ever? I have never seen at the end of the 8 seconds when the buzzer goes off, I've never seen a bull go, "Ah, you got me this time," and just starts trotting around the arena like a quarter horse, just like, "Here we go. You win this round, but I'll get..." That never happens. Do you know why? Because even the best bull riders in the world will tell you that no matter how strong, how experienced, how intelligent, how gifted you are as a bull rider, you never have control of the bull. That you only respond to the power of the bull that you sit on. Can you make this spiritual application with me? How many of us every single day we get on the back of anxiety thinking that we have control, yet we only have the power to respond to the control of the anxiety in our life? You are getting on the back of something in anxiety that you will never have control of. You will never be able to control the way that it twists things in your mind. Why? Because the feelings that we experience, anxiety will take the feelings that you feel and will make them truth to you. It will make them truth to you. That now the thing that I'm experiencing isn't just a feeling, but now it becomes real and it becomes a struggle that we feel like we will never be able to overcome. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Cast your cares on him because he cares for you. If we want to live free from anxiety today, life must be, not it should be, but life must be something that more than something you accomplish, more than what you accumulate. Listen, you can have all the wealth, all the success, all the security in the world that you think you need, but if Jesus does not have control of your life, you will always live in want. He must have control of your life. When I let go, the peace of God will guard my heart and my mind. There's no amount of planning, no amount of reason, no amount of getting a handle on things that can do what the peace and the presence of God can do in your life. Don't be anxious. Don't. But I do. It says, casting all your anxieties upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. He cares for all of you. And listen, this is sometimes where I think we get it messed up in church, and we haven't done the best job of making sure that people understand this. God cares for all of you, every part of you. The part that gets it right, the part that believes, even the part of you that fails, God cares for that part too. The part of you that doesn't always believe that he is who he says he is, God cares about that part too. The part of you that thinks thoughts you shouldn't think, that wants to do things you shouldn't do, that's the part that God cares about too. And a lot of times we say things like, we love the sinner but hate the sin. I just don't think that we honestly believe it in our heart. God loves all of you. He cares about every part of you. But we will never be free from anxiety until we quit fighting for control and we allow God to be the one who leads and directs our life. Secondly is this, we're going to close with this. We will only be free from anxiety when we win the battle of faith. Anxiety is much more than just a psychological or an emotional issue. For many of us, it's at a primal level and it's an issue of faith. Jesus, when responding to the disciples in Matthew chapter 6, said, "Oh, you of little faith," not "Oh, you of little ability," not "Oh, you of little strength," not "Oh, you that are weak," but "Oh, you of little faith." The greatest thing that stood between them and being able to be what God was calling them to be was their lack of faith. Do you believe that God is who he says he is? Do you believe that God will do what he said he would do? The most basic battle that we fight as a believer is the battle to believe. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." Don't be anxious. Make your request known to God, and his peace, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart in Christ Jesus. Why do we struggle to cast our cares on him? Why do we struggle to make him the lead in our life? Because we can't trust him. That's what we think. Because the enemy has twisted what we think about God, has attacked what we think about God, and the God that we used to serve, the God that we used to believe in. Now we're not sure if we can really put everything in his hands. But the verse that we just looked at, you want to be free of anxiety? You want to win the battle of faith? We have to make the choice. For many of us, it's hard to trust people. We've been disappointed. We've been let down. We've been hurt. But yet we take the disappointments that we have with man and we put those on God and say that if they let me down, how can I trust God? If they didn't believe in me, how can I trust God? If my mom and dad wouldn't believe in me, why would God ever trust in me? Trust in God and he will make your paths straight. Lean not on your own understanding. You'll never understand some of the things that you go through. You'll never be able to fully grasp some of the things that you face. But God, who is rich in his mercy, rich in love, who cares for you more than anyone else in this world ever could, says, if you'll come to me, if you'll trust in me, if you'll quit trying to make it happen, I will give you rest and peace and freedom from the anxiety that you carry. Would you stand with me today as we close? Father, we thank you today that your love for us is so real. God, we thank you today that even though the struggle that we fight is so real every single day, the anxiety that we face, the fears that we face, the feelings of inadequacy, the feelings of I'm not good enough, the feelings of they'll never like me, the feelings of I'm so overwhelmed by my own and I don't fit in, and God, it feels like I don't even have control of my life at this moment. God says, you don't have to. All you have to do is give it to me. Today, as we respond, we're going to have a very simple response time in this, that I want to be free of anxiety. I don't want to fight this battle anymore. The Bible says, casting your anxiety on him because he cares for you, trusting in him with all of your heart. I don't want to fight the battle of control anymore. I don't want to fight the battle of faith. I want to give it and put it in the hands of God today because I want to be free of anxiety. Where once the tension for us was, don't be anxious, but I am, it switches completely and it becomes, I don't, but he does. I don't have the answer. I don't have the way. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the resources. I can't do this another day, but with him, you can. Because today, he wants to let you be free of anxiety. Here in just a moment, I'm going to count to three, and just in this very vulnerable moment, I would ask you, if you want to be free of anxiety, would you respond and come to the front? Some of our leaders, student leaders, staff, faculty, we want to gather around you. We want to pray with you. Because I don't want a single person to leave this place and continue to fight the same battle that they fought this morning of thinking that you're not good enough, that you can't do it, that God doesn't, I can never live up to the plan that God has. You don't have to because God will through you. I want to be free of anxiety today. If you're here in this room and that's you, you say, I don't want to fight God for control anymore. I don't want to try to make it happen on my own anymore. I want to be free of anxiety today. If that's you, on the count of three, would you move? One, two, three. Would you move now? Would you move now? You're not going to be the only one. There's people moving all over this room. I want to be free of anxiety today. I don't want to fight God for control. Either you can be in control or God can be in control. Either we believe that God is who he says he is or we don't believe that God is who he says he is. I want to be free of anxiety today. These are going to begin to pray. Our leaders are going to come and begin to pray with them. If you're still in this seat, we're not moving on without you. You're sitting there and you're still wrestling with it in your heart, in your soul. I want to be free, but I don't want to admit that I have a struggle. Listen, the Bible says in Psalm 56 that when I am afraid, this is something that we will all struggle with. But the question is, will I face? God cannot heal in you what you will not reveal. Can I be vulnerable? Can I be honest enough to say that I need to be free from anxiety today? We're going to continue to pray just like we did on Tuesday as we continue in this response time. These are going to pray. These are going to be ministered to. Over the next few moments, if you need to leave, if you need to go to class, we're going to allow you to do so. But as these continue to pray and seek God, if you need to leave, make sure you do so in a quiet and a reverent way so that these can continue to stay focused in on what we're doing. But even in your seat, if you're going to stay for the next few moments, can you in your seat just extend your hand towards these at the front and begin to pray for them? God, would you help them to be free from anxiety today? Would you help them to be encouraged today, for their faith to be lifted, for their heart to be lifted? Strengthen their soul today. Strengthen their heart and their mind. God, I don't want to live under the expectation of what people think I should be. God, I cannot live up to the expectation that has been on me. I'm carrying a weight that was not meant for me. I'm carrying a weight that I can't carry. God, I don't have the strength, but God, you do. God, I don't want to fight you for control. I don't want to fight you for control. Lord, we make you the Lord of our life. Every weight, every anxiety that we carry, Lord, every thought of doubt, every thought of fear, God, we place it in your hands. We place it in your hands. God, I don't want to carry this weight anymore. I don't want to carry this weight anymore. Jesus, we thank you. Jesus, the thoughts of inadequacy. God, I don't have what it takes. The feelings that attack my mind at night when I'm just trying to go to sleep and all I can think about is the fear of what may happen next, of the fear of what if this, what if that. God, I want freedom today to know that my life is in your hands. My peace is in your hands. My strength is in your hands. You hold my future. God, I am accountable to no one but to the plan that you have. And in your plan, there is grace. In your plan, there is mercy. In your plan, there is forgiveness. Even along the way when I make mistakes, God, there is grace in my mistakes. There is forgiveness in my weakness. Because, God, your plan for us is perfect. Your plan for us is perfect. Jesus, we lay it at your feet this morning. We cast every anxiety, every weight, every fear, every feeling that plagues our mind, God, we lay it at your feet. Jesus, we thank you.
Thank you for tuning in today for our podcast, 7210. The Chapel Series. 7210 is a production of Southwestern Christian University, produced by April Black, and I'm David Roman. Check out the university on our website at swcu.edu and find out more about the over 30 different degree programs that we offer. The campus is located at 7210 Northwest 39th Expressway in Bethany, Oklahoma. Stop by and check us out either on the web or at our main campus.